Well, you guys, this is our first day of Vertical Mom. This is a kind of an exciting time. We're not since it's brand new, it's going to be shaped as we go along. So if you walk out of here today and say, that wasn't perfect, then we've done our job. So, or not, I don't know. But before we get started, I just wanted to give you kind of an overview of what we're doing. So I wanted to talk about the vision a little bit of what Vertical Mom is about. And that is that we are together going to learn how to make God the center of our lives in all our circumstances. A lot of times you come into a group of moms and we think, well, I need to talk to other people and I need to connect with other women. And we want you to connect. We're excited that we can come together and learn how to do this mom thing together and learn how to make it through all the different aspects of life. But more importantly, we want you and me, I want me, all of us, to learn better how to make God the center of our lives. And the verse that we chose, the scripture that we chose for that, is from Psalm 105, verses 4 and 5. And it says, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles and the judgments He uttered. So we're going to talk about that today. After today, when we meet together, we're going to be going through different aspects of Titus 2 woman, what it's like to be busy at home. And that one hurts me to hear. And then, you know, what it's like to love your husband and to love your kids, and just what does it mean to be a pure woman and those types of things. But today we're just going to give you a picture of the overall vision of where we're headed. Also want to tell you that what we're doing here, I sat down with my boss and my boss's boss, who happens to be my husband. So I have to submit to him on many levels. It really stinks sometimes. We sat down and we looked at the schedule of the year and what makes sense to be able to provide something for you but not to run you ragged and to run the whole church ragged. Because this is a ministry that is to supplement the impact of the church. It's not to become this ministry and church within itself. So we still have impact groups. And we still want you to be part of those impact groups. And we still have study groups. We still have Sunday services. We don't want this to become your Sunday service. I am not a good preacher like Tim is. And so we want this to be a supplement. So the best way we saw that it would work is if we have the Vertical Mom go from April through August. And then when we have our study groups starting in September and then in the winter months in late January or February, the groups that you're in will continue to be your groups in those study groups. And the only changes from that will be if one of the people in your group is somebody that I count on as a discussion group leader for study groups, I might beg them to come out of that group and be a leader. But that may not be necessary at all. And then if we need to add a few people to your group, then that would be the case. But the groups as you have them here will stay together throughout the year, whether you're in Vertical Mom or you're in a study group. Does that make sense? Okay, so the only months that you really won't have anything going on will be all of December, which of course nobody has anything to do in December, so you'll be laying around wondering, what will I do with my time? And then, you know, the end of November and then the beginning of January. So time to get through the holidays, time to recover from the holidays, and then we'll come back together. So that is what we're going to be doing. Now, you might think, okay, but we're only meeting once a month, and I really want to be able to do some more. Well, we actually have more planned. I just decided that I didn't know how to write it on the website, and so I'm going to tell you now, and please make sure you share this with all your friends. So the second week of the month, the second Wednesday, we will be meeting all together as a big group. And hopefully when you came in, you got the name of the person that's going to be leading your smaller group. And I always call them discussion groups, but that just sounds so cold. So if you can think of a better name, let me know. And so whoever that person is that you're meeting, that group, sometime during the fourth week of the month, we'll get together outside, and that will be something where you can plan to get together for coffee in the evening, or you can get together during the day. You as a group will decide what the best time is for your group and get together during the fourth week. And during that time, it will be more of a social connecting time, but it will also be a time to go back over what we talked about on the second week and see, how are you doing with making application from that? Because we don't just want to waste words on you and just, you know, blah, 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 now let's go talk. We want to be able to give you something that's going to help you for your practical walk with God and as you're going through your day. So then on that fourth week, as you meet, how are you doing with that? Is there something that you need to tweak a little? Is there something we can pray for you with that? Or however, so that's kind of going to be how that's going to work. If you have any questions about that, you can ask your facilitator. You can ask me. I'm happy to answer whatever questions. I'm here. We've had kind of a crazy last several months, but I'm back. And hopefully I can be here for you if you need it. And then the last thing is, before we get started on where we're headed, when you meet today, your leader is going to give you a piece of paper, and she is going to ask you to write down a question that you have about parenting. It can be a really dumb question, because there are no dumb questions. Or, it can be a really serious, is there something about parenting that you're getting stuck on that you'd like somebody to answer? And they're going to turn those questions into me. You don't have to put your name on it if you don't want to. They're going to turn those questions into me, and then I'm going to go through them and talk with some people. I don't believe that I have all the answers. So I'm going to talk with some people whose opinions I respect because of the way I see how they've raised their kids. And we're going to come up with some answers for you. And so each time we meet, we're going to have a little bit of a parenting tip time where we're going to take one or two of those questions and answer them and then go into the teaching time. And so I'm going to start right now with giving you a parenting tip time. This is something that may or may not mean anything to you, but this has dramatically affected how my husband and I have raised our kids. And so that this is an overall big picture of parenting. Maybe that you already get this. And that is, we have two ways that we can raise our kids. One is behavior modification, and one is dealing with heart change. A lot of what you see today, and maybe, and we all fall into it, but we try to control our kids' behavior because we don't like it. But the problem is, if we do that, we haven't affected their heart. So the way I look at it is, when we do behavior modification, it's like a Nerf ball, and you take that Nerf ball and you squeeze it. And as long as you're squeezing that Nerf ball, it's going to be the shape you want it to be. But as soon as you let them go to grandma's, or they go to school, especially grandma's, or they go to school, or wherever, that Nerf ball will go right back to where it was, and nothing has changed. They've just learned how to not make mom mad. Or not necessarily learned that. They have also learned how to push mom's buttons. Okay, the other way is with an open hand, considering a piece of clay. And when you shape a piece of clay, it stays in its shape. Even your hand always stays open. And the way that works is you're always appealing to the heart. So whenever you talk through, there's never a "because I said so" answer, unless they're about to run into the street and die or something like that. But a "because I said so," it may teach them that you have to obey authority, but it doesn't teach them why. And then when you're out of the picture, they're not going to get it. So you appeal to their heart, you begin to work with their conscience, and then that gets shaped. And then when you're not in the room or they're at school, they're that same person that they were. I remember when my daughter Megan was probably 6 years old, she would go to a certain person who's older and related to me's house, who I will not mention her name, and they would let her watch movies that she was not allowed to watch at our house. And I remember her calling me once and saying, "Mommy, I know that I'm not supposed to watch this movie, but it's really hard." And I'm like, okay. So when she came home, we talked about, honey, there are going to be lots of decisions that you're going to have to make as you go through life when I'm not going to be there. And if you're only doing it based on whether or not you're going to get in trouble from me and you don't make the decision of what's best, then you're going to make a lot of bad decisions. And I can't always be there. And so we would begin to talk through stuff like that. And when we'd use the Bible, it wasn't to bang them over the head with the Bible, but what does God want us to do? And why do you think God asks us to do this? Is it just because he wants to be mean? Or what do you think he's trying to protect you from? And things like that. So lots of questions to help them to begin to think. When they're 2 years old, it is more behavior modification. You don't go, "Now, honey, I know you want to stick your finger in that light socket, but let's discuss this." You just say no. And because I said so, works. When Megan was 5, she asked, we were doing some work in the yard, and she asked me if she could go get some water. And I told her, go ahead. And so she went into the house to get water, and she came back out, and I said, "Megan, did you spill water while you were in the house?" Because I knew she's 5 years old, she's going to spill some water. And she said, "Well, Mommy, the thing was really heavy. And so the pitcher spilled the water." And I said, "Honey, do you remember the story of Adam and Eve?" And she goes, "Yeah." I said, "Do you remember how Adam, when God came to him and said, what have you done?" Adam said, "It's that woman you gave me." And when he asked Eve, she said, and Megan stopped me mid-sentence, she said, "I know, Mom." She blamed the serpent. "I'll go clean up the water." 5 years old. So they can understand a lot. We think that they can't, but they can. So that's the big picture, not behavior modification. We want heart change. And then a small little specific thing that you have probably heard and read 50,000 times and yet still get caught into it. Do not make threats that you will not keep. I can't tell you how many women I hear in grocery stores or malls say, "If you don't behave, Santa Claus isn't going to bring you any gifts." I'm like, "Oh, kid, just don't listen to her, because they're going to bring you the gifts." If you are not going to carry through with what you're saying, and I don't care how old your child is, but if you don't carry through with what you say, then you are teaching them not to trust authority, not to trust you. And what happens when you do that? Don't do that. If you don't do that, if you do that, I'm going to. If you do that, I'm going to. And what happens? Your voice begins to raise and raise until you finally freak out on them and yell, right? So they learn not obey because it's right, but obey so that when I see that Mom gets too mad. So they're not learning that Mom matters as far as an authority and what I need to learn as far as heart change. It's just behavior modification so that Mom doesn't send me to my room or spank me or whatever. If you can get that, you can save yourself a whole lot of trouble. So those are my parenting tips in all my wisdom of my 16-year-old and 14-year-old and learning all the ways to do it wrong. Now we're going to go. Now, normally it won't always be me teaching. I'm not going to make you suffer through that, but I will be the one presenting the parenting tips. So now I will introduce the teacher to you. It's Jonna Harkness. Hello, everybody. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll start with the message. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love moms. Lord, your word says in Isaiah 40, verse 11, that you are the shepherd who gently leads those that have young, and you carry us close to your heart. And Lord, we just pray that as you lead us, Lord, will follow, that we will learn to seek you and your strength, to seek your presence continually, and to remember all that you've done. And Lord, help us to follow your lead in the way we love our kids and the way we love our husbands. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Okay. So just one more time, the verse is Psalm 105, verses 4 through 5. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he uttered. So the first point that I want to bring to you is seek the Lord and his strength. We see throughout Scripture over and over again that God is calling us to seek him. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will search for me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. God wants us to seek him. And he says, and I will be found by you. And so we can take it to the New Testament. We have the verse that if you're as old as I am, you used to sing, seek ye first, and then alleluia, right? And you sit around the campfire, seek ye first. And everybody sang that song, but nobody actually ever paid attention to what it was saying. So seek ye first, or maybe it was just me, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God calls us to seek him. So what does it look like to seek him? Because we can say, seek him, seek him, seek him, and you go, I don't know how. So I'm going to give you a little illustration, and I do mean a little, because it is about when I'm in the grocery store. I don't know if you know this about me. This is going to shock you. I'm short. And sometimes in the grocery store, there is an item that I need that is at the top shelf all the way at the back. And I could try to stand on my, I've thought about trying to stand on my cart, and I can just picture it like flipping over and try to get on one on the bottom shelf, and I just still can't reach. And so when that happens, the first thing I do is I begin to look around for a tall person. And usually there is a tall person in the aisle. And so I'm seeking that person and his strength to reach that item for me. Seeking is just looking for. Seek the Lord. Look for him. He's there. We don't always see him with our physical eyes. We never see him with our physical eyes. But we can see him with our spiritual eyes. He's there. Seek the Lord and his strength. So this is what God wants for us to do. He says it over and over again. And I want to take you to a scripture that I think says it so well. And that's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. He says, we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. And he's talking about not putting yourself with unbelievers. And it's not just talking about in marriage, but it's talking about in your close, tight relationships, not to align yourself with unbelievers. It's not that you can't care for them or love them, but they wouldn't be your closest friends. So he says, therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. God wants a relationship with us. We tend to not understand what that means because we can't physically touch him and see him. But there is a God. He is real. He is God Almighty, and he wants a relationship with you. He is not at all about making a donut. And what I mean by that, you may have remembered that from Tim talking about it in times past, but what we tend to do is God gives us his rule of something that he wants us to do. And like seek him or meditate on his word day and night or be kind to one another. And we begin to take that rule and we start making all these rules around it so that we can do better at that rule. But eventually what happens is we take that first thing of what he intended completely out, and all we have is these empty rules that we've created instead of following what God's wanted. And he's saying, seek me and my strength. And we're saying, well, I'll do these things. So when you hear you need to be in your word, oh, okay, that's one of my rules. I'm supposed to read my Bible. I'm supposed to pray these specific words while I'm praying. I'm supposed to. And all of that time, we've missed that God was all about a relationship. Relationship does not equal rules. Rules are there. God does give us rules, but they are not the goal. The rules are there to protect the relationship. And you can think about that in your relationships with your kids. You give your kids rules with each other, right? Don't hit your brother. Why? Because you just don't want your kid to walk around hitting? No, because you want them to have a good relationship. And you know that if they begin to hit each other, that they're not going to really be able to have a close relationship. It's the relationship, and we as women know that, I think, better than anybody. It's the relationship that matters. And God says, yeah, that's true for me too. I'm not all about rules. The rules are there to protect the relationship. So what does it look like to seek His strength? We talk about that a lot, about not muscling it, right? We don't want to muscle through life. So I could try to crawl up that shelving unit and have it fall on me, and while I'm trying to get that thing at the back, when God is standing right there and He says, I'm tall enough, I can get it for you. And He's there for us. So in our personal walk with God, first of all, be honest with God. So Psalm 62:8 says, trust in the Lord at all times. Pour out your heart to Him. He is a refuge for us. That's not something that we always do, because we feel like, well, I'll speak for myself, because I feel like I'm not supposed to feel that way. So if I admit it to God, then I'm admitting my weakness and I'm ashamed. When we lived in Naperville, we had this two-tiered deck that was about the size of these two sets of chairs, and I hated that deck. And when we bought the house, it was already stained a color, so I had to keep it stained a color. So every once in a while, I'd have to go and stain the deck. And my husband does not enjoy painting, and so it usually came to be my job to do that. And I remember there was this one time I was out staining the deck, and it had all those spindles and everything, and I'm staining, and it was actually not so bad because it's kind of therapeutic for me, but I was really upset about something. I don't even remember what it was. And Tim came out, and he said, Jonna, are you okay? You seem kind of upset. And I said, no, I'm not. And I just poured my heart out to him as to what was going on. I don't remember what it was. And we talked about it a little bit, and then he went back in the house. And then I continued to stain. And I felt God say to me in my spirit, why are you willing to tell him, but you're not willing to tell me? God already knows. Psalm 139 says He knows our thoughts before we even speak them. So it's okay to tell Him. So part of seeking the Lord in His strength is being honest with Him and calling out to Him for help and saying, God, I can't reach the top shelf. I need you. Seeking the Lord in His strength in your marriage. First, see what God calls you to in marriage. Don't make it up for yourself by the world's standards. I can't tell you how many times I hear people say, God would not want me to be unhappy, and therefore it's okay to walk out of this marriage. There is nowhere in Scripture that it says God does not want you to be unhappy. In fact, it does talk about how we will suffer for Him. So in your marriage, to recognize what God calls you to recognize 1 Peter 5:6-7, that says, humble yourself, therefore, under God's almighty hand, that He will lift you up, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. I can't tell you how many times, because I can be a very prideful person, especially, I don't freak out on anybody, even my kids anymore, but I do on Tim sometimes. And it used to be way worse than it is now. But I would just feel, we'd start to talk about something, and I'd just feel it raising up inside of me, and I'm like, and then I end up saying things that later I totally regret saying. And oh boy, do I have I have the gift of sarcasm. And I do believe it's a spiritual gift. But I can totally, and so literally there was a long time there where I would have to say, and I still do this, I still say, I need a few minutes. But I would say, I need a few minutes. And I would go into my closet and I'd get on my knees and say, God, I need to humble myself before you. But before I do, let me tell you what Tim did wrong. And then I would humble myself before God. And then I could go back and talk to him. But humble yourself under the Lord's almighty hand, that he may lift you up. You will be amazed at how many conflicts you will keep from happening if you'll just go to God first. Seek him and his strength to be able to love your husband. And then 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. To go through that list, love is patient, love is kind, love is not rude. And put your name in that list and see if you're that person. Are you with your husband? And I know we have a few single people here. So if you look forward to other relationships that you're in. I mean, these are things with potential mates that you might come to, or with even friendships. But to look at that list, am I loving? Jonna is patient. Jonna is kind. Jonna is not rude. It doesn't say she's not sarcastic, just so you know. Jonna does not insist on her own way. Jonna does not hold grudges. Jonna is not easily angered. Can you describe yourself in that list? First thing to start with, seeking the Lord and his strength. Taking that list to him, saying, God, this is not me. Will you help me? Not humbling yourself before God. Refusing to see where you need to change before God only makes the problem worse. We always think, Lord, fix them. And then I'll be. There's always a justification for why I'm this way. And that person needs to be fixed. Let God fix you. Get the rod out of your own eye before you try to get the speck out of someone else's. How do you seek the Lord and his strength in your parenting? Well, one of the things that we talked about in the parenting tip, behavior modification versus heart change. Seek to work on their heart. Deuteronomy 6:6-9 talks about love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, and then teach this to your children when you go by the way, when you sit, when you stand, write it on the doorposts of your house. We tend to have humanitarian homes, but not godly homes. So we teach be nice, share, don't tell lies, but we forget that God is at the center, and we make it a humanitarian donut. God is at the center. The whole purpose of God creating us is that we might glorify him and praise him and have a relationship with him. Praising him and glorifying him includes relationship. It's not just walking around saying, oh, God is so good, God is so good, but we never have that time with him. That's where the true worship and glory comes. Okay, so in raising our kids, check your motives. Are you raising them with that in mind, or are you raising them to make your life comfortable? Are you asking them to do what you ask them to do because it's getting on your nerves, or you're embarrassed, or you want to go to bed, or whatever? Or are you thinking, I want my child to know Jesus Christ in him crucified, and I want them to be raised to give their entire lives to him. How do I then raise this child so that he or she knows who he is? And I'm a model of who God is. So when my kids were little, one of the things that I began to pray, actually from the time I think I was pregnant with Megan, which she's 16 now, I began to pray Zephaniah 3:17 for myself. And it's not talking about parenting. It says, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He delights in you greatly. He quiets you with his love. He rejoices over you with singing. I have to tell you, I tended to get angry a lot with my kids. I grew up in a very angry home. And I didn't know how not to be. I just knew that I didn't want to be. And so I began to pray, God, help me to quiet my kids with my love and not my anger. Help me to delight in them. I had heard it said, anytime you can say yes, say yes. There are going to be so many times that you have to say no. So whenever you can say yes, say yes. I was like, that's interesting. And I even had a friend who said, I say no to my kids just so that, because they need to hear the word no. I'm like, oh, honey, they're going to hear the word no so many times. Say yes when you can. But I knew that I was an angry person, and I just begged God, help me, because I don't want to be that with my kids. And I believe that He answered 100%. Now, the way He answered me may not be the way He would answer you, and maybe you don't struggle with this at all. The way He answered me was by having me homeschool. I ended up homeschooling my kids, and I'm not wishing that on you. Although I do have to say, I loved every minute of it, and I don't homeschool anymore. Both my kids are in high school. But I homeschooled Megan from 4th grade through 8th grade, and I homeschooled Alyssa from 1st grade through until 8th grade. And so when I homeschooled them, God showed me. So marriage shows you where you need to grow in holiness. I mean, we think that we get married to be happy, and God says, no, I hope you're happy, but I'm going to show you where you need to be sanctified. And then we have kids, and that takes us to a whole new level, right? And then I homeschooled, and I'm with those kids 24 hours a day, and that's not my personality. I was the mom where they'd say, oh, we need a room, Mom. I'm like, oh, busy. So I'm not that person. And so God put me in that situation so that I would be able to. And I have to tell you, and I've told this before, I used to take scripture and write it on a note card and hang it around my neck about being an example to my children or loving them or whatever. And then when I'd start to get frustrated, I'd look at it. And my kids would laugh at me, but I learned and I began to pray. And so God started by saying, I'm going to change your actions. And He moved through to change my heart. So I started by acting patient with my kids when inside I wanted to scream. And He moved me to where I could actually be patient with my kids. And I remember, I probably told you this before, but a year and a half to 2 years ago, I was driving down the road with my daughters, and I just began to cry. And I said, guys, I am so sorry for the times that I've been angry with you in the past and how I would yell and stuff. And they looked at me and they said, Mom, I don't remember that. And I was like, that is the grace of God, because that was not me. And He changed me, and He took their memory from them. And I'm so glad. So my prayer is that that continues. Now they're in the high school years, and there are trying times. It doesn't change as they get older. That what you need to give them physically when they're younger gets replaced with what you need to give them emotionally when they're older. So it's still, it doesn't get easier. It just gets different. So seeking the Lord and His strength as you go through life with your family. It is a day-to-day thing. It doesn't have to be just what you do when you first wake up in the morning for 10 minutes. Okay? The second step, or second point, seek His presence continually. I got that. I really have been mulling over that a lot. Seek His presence continually. How do you seek His presence continually? So we understand seek, look, just look for Him. His presence. It's not seek His rules. It's not seek His examples. Seek His presence continually. Never ending. I was like, Lord, what do I do? Wake up in the morning and I get down on my hands and my knees and I pray until I go to bed at night. And I just go, oh, Lord, I hope that You'll feed my kids. I mean, and that's not what it is at all. We acknowledge His presence. We acknowledge that He's there. God Almighty is there. Okay, so how many of you know Julia Roberts? If I say the name Julia Roberts, how many of you know Julia Roberts? Is there anybody who doesn't know Julia Roberts? Okay. How many of you have her phone number? How many of you call her regularly? We know about someone, and so we think we know them. And it's not, and so we know about God. I was talking with someone, and I was like, and they are going through a very difficult time. And I said, what are you learning from God's word as you're going through this? So, Donna, I grew up in the church. I know what the Bible says. No, we need to be in his presence continually. It's a continual thing that he's there while you're cooking, while you're trying to do 15 different things at one time, while you're folding laundry, while you're grocery shopping, while your child is screaming in the grocery store. Megan, when she was little, she found out that if you throw yourself down screaming, you can hit your head and get hurt. And so she used to just start screaming in a tantrum. This was like when she was 13. Just kidding. It was when she was real little. She would scream. And then she was like, okay, if I throw myself down, I'm going to get hurt. So she'd lay down. She stopped crying, lay down, and then continue screaming. So she was a smart kid. And Alyssa was my, like, if this is the line, she'd be like, oh, I'm staying over here. And so she'd come up to me and go, Mommy, I'm being a good girl, right? When she got older. But seeking the Lord in his presence continually, never leaving him out. John chapter 15, Jesus calls it abiding. He wants us to abide with him, to be with him. And you think, well, I don't necessarily have time. I've got so much going on. I don't know how. I know I'm supposed to spend time with God and his word. And I'm supposed to do all this, but I don't have time. And I want to say to you, in the most loving, kind way, you always make time for what's important to you. You guys, I'm training for a half Ironman. If I have to, I get up at 4:30 in the morning because it's important to me. But God's more important. So if I get up at 4:30, he comes first. And I'm not saying that, oh, look at how good I am, because I am on my knees before him saying, God, how is it that I spend every day with you, time alone with you, I go through the day with you, and I'm still this messed up? How much more messed up would I be if I didn't spend time with you? We make time for what we value. And if we don't make time for it, then the question is, why? Three reasons, and I'm not saying they're the only reasons, but three reasons we don't abide with the Lord. Spending time with him, letting him be part of our day. So when I'm cooking and cleaning, praying and thanking him. Thank you, Lord, that I get to make this meal. Thank you that we live in a place, unless you go to Morton Walmart, where you can actually buy the groceries that you're looking for. And then you have to go to Kroger. So three reasons. First of all, because we don't trust him. I don't know if he... let me ask you a question. Think of what God looks like when he looks at you. Which I know you can't see his face, but picture God looking at you. What's the look that he has on his face? I will tell you that 9 times out of 10, when I ask someone that question, they say he's disappointed. That is not our God. The person that you're not trusting does not exist. Know the real God. That he says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That he says he delights in you greatly. He quiets you with his love. He rejoices over you with singing. You cannot rejoice over someone with singing and be mad at them at the same time. It doesn't happen. Know your God. If you don't abide with him, it may be because you don't trust him. The second one is, if you don't abide with him, it may be because you don't understand him, which is, of course, why you wouldn't trust him. You don't understand his character, that he is slow to anger, that when you look at the definition of love, that that's him, that God is patient, that God is kind, that God keeps no record of your wrongs, that God does not insist on his own way, that God does not rejoice in evil but rejoices with the truth, that God bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. He loves you. If you don't abide with him, it may be because you don't understand his character. I have a way that you can know his character by reading his word that he gave us, his love letter, and know the truth about who he is. And the third thing is, you may trust that he's good and you may understand him, but you don't want to give something up. There's something in your life that you know that God would want you to give up that you don't want to give up. And that will keep you from abiding with him. every once in a while I go through this little phase, not a phase, it's usually on a Saturday, where I want sugar. And I could just eat every piece of sugar in the house if it existed. And I don't like chocolate, so I usually just buy chocolate and then I'm safe. But I can sense God saying, I'm here, and I'm going, I don't want to talk to you because I know that I'm making this an idol right now, and I don't want to talk to you right now because, and that's what we do. We push God out because there's something that he's saying, I want you to want me more. And not because he's just this really arrogant being who's like, it's just got to be. It's because he knows. First of all, he is the creator of the universe. And he loves you so much that he crushed his son so that you could be forgiven of your sins, so that you could even be in his presence. And he says, now you can boldly come into his presence. And we go, yeah, but I want this more. We just don't get it. We just don't get the big picture. We need to open our eyes and see the big picture. So, abiding with him. First of all, being able to come to him and say, if it's true, if any of this resonates with you and say, I don't trust him or I don't understand his character, don't walk out of here going, oh, I'm so ashamed. Walk out of here saying, God, I want to know you. Help me. Help me to set this aside. Don't stay where you are. There's no satisfaction in that. There's no joy in that. Allow God to change where you are. Be in his presence and abide with him. What does that look like? Okay, so I am a total task person. I just told you I'm preparing to do a half Ironman. I'm like, okay, my brother, who's my coach, he's like, I don't have anybody who sticks to the schedule like you do. Because I'm like, if it's a rule, I follow the rule. I am like the number one donut person that exists. And God is teaching me that it's the center that counts. And so I had gone to the health club, I'd done my swimming, done my running, done my weights. Now I got to get home and I got to ride my bike on my trainer. And I walk in the door at spring break and Megan goes, what you doing, Mom? And I said, well, I got to go down and ride my bike. It's just 35 minutes and I'll be back up. And she said, and Tim and her were sitting at the kitchen table. She said, would you just sit and talk with us for a little bit before you go? And I'm like, no, because this is more important. I said, sure, honey. And I sat down and she had no agenda. She just wanted to talk. And I stayed there for like 15 minutes. That was it. And we just sat and talked and then the conversation kind of died out. And I said, okay, I'm going to go ride my bike now. And then when I'm done, I'll take a shower and we can, you know, go and spend time together for the rest of the day. And the rest of the day, she kept coming back to me and saying, Mommy, thank you so much for coming and just sitting with us. Thank you so much. I can't tell you how many times she said that. I love you, Mommy, my 16-year-old. And that's what God wants. He's saying, will you just sit with me for a little bit? I can talk to my daughter while I clean the kitchen and do the laundry and fold it or whatever. But sometimes it's just nice to just sit and give her my full attention. And that's what God says. I want you to do your laundry with me. I want you to go grocery shopping with me. I want you to just sit and talk with me. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. And the last one is, remember him. Why do you think he says, remember him? Remember me and all my wondrous works, all the things I've done, all my judgments. Why does he want us to remember him? Because he wants us to know him, and because he knows that our faith has amnesia. My husband was diagnosed with a brain tumor. I sat down and bawled. And I said, Lord, I just need to know that you're good. That's what I kept saying over and over again. I just need to know that you're good. And there were two things that I did. And I want to pass these on to you. And I want to encourage you in some way to do something like this. A while back, years ago, and you can tell by looking at it, I started this little scripture notebook. And I use it while I'm on the treadmill sometimes, so it's kind of gross because it's got sweat marks all over it. All of this is scriptures that have meant something to me when I read them. Things like, But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Things like that that I came across. Scriptures about he keeps in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in him. And things like that. So I have my scripture notebook, and the first thing I did when I found out about Tim's brain tumor is I sat down and I started reading. I could not read a full story from the Bible at that moment. I didn't have it in me. I didn't know what was going to happen to him. But I could read little verses here and there and see. And I remember it was the day after we found out, and I was driving home from the health club where I swam. And I had to cut my swim short because I couldn't swim because I was worried about my husband. Believe it or not, I actually love him more than swimming. But I was driving home from the health club, and I said, Lord, I have a brother who has cancer, and I send him scripture, I text him scripture to give him something to hold on to for the day. I do that a lot, and he's always said, please don't stop. And so I said, Lord, this is what I need. I need, please have somebody text me a scripture. I just need that. And I was 2 minutes from home at that point. I got home. Tim and I left right away to go get lab work done. Apparently he had to go a lot sooner, so it was like a total God thing that I cut my swim short. He had to leave a lot sooner than we thought, and so we rushed out the door, and we pulled out into the street, and I heard my phone beep, and somebody had texted me, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted. And I was like, thank you, God. I didn't ask anybody. I only asked God. He is there. He cares. We can't see him, but he's there. And so his word is what got me through. And then there was one other thing. So I want to encourage you to get a notebook, or you can do it on a Kindle, I don't know if you can do it on a Kindle, but an iPad or whatever. You can be as techie with it as you want. But something where you're writing down those scriptures that mean something to you. Because what may touch me may not be what you need at the moment. I went through a period where I needed to know about God providing because Tim had taken a 70% pay cut when he first started in pastoring. And I needed to know God was going to provide. So there's a lot of scripture in here about God providing. And then I told my friends, I'm not a journaler. I cannot journal to save my life. But I got this blessing book. It's just a book. A friend of mine actually gave it to me because I told her that I wanted to start a blessing book. And she dropped it off at my house, which was really cool. And so I just started, this started last June. I started writing blessings down in my book. Like, there was one I wanted to point out. I just saw something that I'm not going to say because it's like kind of girly. But I just wrote, I love laughing with my family. Tim made me laugh so hard yesterday that water came out through my nose. And it almost happened a second time at dinner. But things like that, things that are bigger, you know, of how God blessed. And then when I found out that he had the tumor, the first thing I did, well, second thing after this, is I started looking through my blessing book. Because I started to see things that I had forgotten about, of how God was there. He hadn't forgotten. He wasn't going to leave my side. And I'm no one special. It's not like he's going, well, I'm going to do this for you, Jonna. But Janelle, forget it. I'm not doing it for Janelle. He says there's no partiality with him. He loves each one of us. He will do that for you too. You begin to write down those blessings. And when those times come, they're not going to be huge things every day that hit you, but there will be times where you need to be reminded that he's there. And so when those times come, have your blessing book and be able to look back and see, to remember him, to remember all that he's done. So we are going to get more specific as time goes on how do you do this parenting thing and this wife thing, and how do you do this vertical mom thing. It starts with him. It starts with seeking God and his strength, seeking his presence continually, and remembering him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you say you will search for me and find me, and you will, when you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you. Lord, I thank you that every word of yours proves true. You are a shield to those who take refuge in you. And Lord, I ask that you would help us not to make a donut out of you, Lord, but that you truly want to dwell among us and be a father to us and to relate to us and abide with us. How awesome, Lord. What a privilege to know that the King of Kings, that the Lord Almighty, that the one who holds the universe together by the word of his power wants to dwell with us. Lord, will you help us to embrace who you are and know you fully? Lord, your word says that we can know you with the love that is beyond knowing, that we can have inexpressible joy, and that we can have peace that is beyond understanding, because you are so far beyond. Help us to know you, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.